If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. Pray that you are having a wonderful day. I want you to know that as a child of God, you are blessed and highly favored. And I am blessed and highly favored. Merit Assembly of God is blessed and highly favored. And we are created to be a blessing to God, be a blessing to our families, be a blessing to our communities and to our world. So I pray that that is how you are living today. And as part of that lifestyle of blessing, one of our objectives is to always be gaining new ground in our walk with Jesus so that we can even be more of a blessing to those around us. And we can be a blessing spiritually. We can be a blessing with wisdom. We can be a blessing with assistance. We can be blessings financially. We can be a blessing with encouragement. And so a funny thing happened to me here not too long ago while I was celebrating my birthday. And that is I had back-to-back people who I spoke with. One was my brother, the other was my son. And both of them reminded me that since I had celebrated my birthday, that I was now entering the next year of my life, and that in some cultures that means they would already identify you as living in that year. And I said the same thing to both of them. I said, "Thank you, Barnabas, you son of encouragement." And we had a big laugh about it and all of that sort of stuff. But I pray today that the Word of God will be a blessing to you and that you will press ahead and become an even greater blessing to those around you than you have been before. So today we are going to touch on a oft-quoted in a inappropriate spirit, I'm going to say, passage of Scripture. And I hope to bring some wisdom, some light, and some balance to this situation. And I pray that it will be beneficial to you. There are a couple of passages of Scriptures that specifically guys like to quote. And one of those is, you know, wives submit to your husband. And so they demand subservience, and that is not what submission is. Submission is not something that another person compels one to do. Submission is an internally driven act where you choose to live under mission to help someone accomplish a goal. And in the marriage sake, it is you live under mission to have a godly home that you establish to the glory of God. What many people who insist on that verse, they remove the context because right before it talks about that, it says submit to one another. Submit to one another. And so there are times where I live as pastor where there are people who are living under mission with me. They're submitted to my authority voluntarily. Did you know that I cannot compel any individual to come to my church? The only thing that can compel a person to come to any church is whether they are drawn by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said, look, the only people who come to me are those that the Father draws, that the Holy Spirit brings to me. And so there is a great church that has said, you know what, we live under mission with you to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Merit Assembly of God is our launching pad to accomplish that task. So I am blessed. I've got a lot of great people who walk like the centurion. They walk in authority under authority. And so The second passage that people like to quote out of context is this passage in Psalm 23. I'm going to read three verses for you today. It says, this is verse number 12 through 14. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from death. Okay, so let me read those three verses again. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from death. Now, a lot of people look at this particular verse and they pick up on this. Beat him with a rod. It says it twice. It must mean that God wants me to beat my child with a rod. That's not the goal, and it is not the objective here. Okay, so we are not talking of this. This scripture is not an endorsement for child abuse. It is not an endorsement for spousal abuse. It is not an endorsement for your rage or for your anger. That none of that is the purpose for which this verse was written. This verse was written with this specific goal in mind, and that is delivering a soul from hell. Delivering a soul from hell. And so discipline and correction and the application of discipline is the process, it is the tool that is used to accomplish this goal. So before we get into that, let's go back up to verse number 12. First of all, it says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Okay, so there are many people right now who have looked at the responses across America to this pandemic that we have been dealing with, and there are some that, shall I say, for lack of wisdom, want to apply a one-size-fits-all model. And so, because something is going on in point A, the entire United States, according to this line of thought and logic, would need to implement the same principles that we are implementing at point A, because it's, you know, one size fits all. It's got to be done for everybody. Well, the thing is, there were a number of communities that never had an incident. Or if they did have, it was an isolated incident. And so applying a draconian or strict lockdown measure universally across America actually punishes people who are not going through the same crisis that other communities are. So if you apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge, you are going to realize that, first of all, it is not just your perception of a problem that matters. We need to hear from God. Apply and your ears to words of knowledge. We need God to speak into our spirits, into our lives, what is the appropriate principle, process, and treatment to bring about this ultimate goal of delivering a soul from hell. I have siblings. Not one of us responds the same way to correction as the others. It is a different process that is required in order to deal with each one. And so as a parent, Our goal was never to treat all three of our children the same. Now, they've all grown up, and that's an entirely different subject. That is a change in paradigm. I was talking to someone here a couple of weeks ago, and they were describing how now their youngest child has reached 18 and they've graduated from high school. And I said, it is a change in paradigm. No longer are you treating them as a child. Now it is your time to treat them as an adult and walk with them in a different manner of instruction and a different process of discipline. Now we set out the goal of discipline and correction and say, okay, this is not the right way to go here. I recommend this path over here. But now they're adults. They get to choose that path for themselves. So you need to hear from God as to how to manage a discipline situation or a correction situation when it comes to your child. Now, when Solomon writes verse 13, do not withhold correction from a child, you need to realize the important lineage of dysfunction that had happened with prominent people when it came to correcting their kids. Okay? First of all, let me tell you about Eli. Eli, the prophet, the priest that was governing Israel before Samuel. And so this is before Saul. He's that bridge person between the judges and the kings of Israel. And he had two sons, and those two sons were serving in ministerial capacity, but they were abusing the people. They were abusing the women. They were abusing the offerings. They weren't doing anything right. They were, as far as they were concerned, they were just in the family business, and they were entitled to treat people however they wanted to treat them. And God comes to Eli and he says, why have you honored your children to a greater extent than me by not correcting them? Now, I will tell you that his children at this point in time were adults, but he still had the spiritual authority in Israel, and he should have removed those people from office, and he didn't do it. He did not correct his children. He just said, why are you doing what you're doing? The report I hear is not good. But he never stepped up to deliver them, and they died on the same day that the Ark of the Covenant was carried off by the Philistines. So Eli was not very good at correcting his children. He was followed by Samuel. And Eli trained Samuel up in the ways of God, and Samuel had an experience with Eli, and God prophesied through Samuel what was going to happen to Eli's descendants. And Samuel's kids grew up, and because Samuel had not learned from his mother, not learned from his father, he was a miracle child and was dedicated to the ministry of the Lord. And as a result of that, he was raised under the supervision of Eli. Well, he was the exclusion between the other two sons, but he learned to father or to parent or to correct the same way that Eli did. So Samuel's sons grew up, and they grew up with the same mindset that Eli's sons had done. And the children of Israel came along and said, we don't want this. We do not want to go back and relive this. We've been here. We've seen this movie. We don't like how it ends. We want a king. Now, There were other reasons they wanted a king. They wanted a king to be like the nations. They also, the Bible says, wanted a king because there was an enemy that was attacking them, and they said, we need a king who is going to defend us. And Samuel made it clear to them, you've made a horrible mistake in doing this, but okay, God's going to give you what you want. Sometimes you don't want the thing you think you really want. Sometimes you don't want the thing that you think that you really want. He was followed by David. David comes and he raises up his family. He's got three kids. He's got Amnon, who thought it was okay because he was the king's kid to rape his sister. And David didn't say anything to him. He got really upset and didn't do anything. Okay? I will tell you that if you are upset and it doesn't lead to ministering correction to someone you're supposed to minister correction to, then you are negligent. Okay? The sister that he raped was Absalom's sister, and Absalom took matters into his own hands, and Absalom was an arrogant, self-centered, narcissistic individual. And David loved him, but he didn't love him enough to stop him from doing malicious things to other people. So you and I, we need to make sure that those under our authority are treating other people the way that we would want them to be treated. I had a phone call with a secretary one time, not my secretary, another secretary, and that secretary said this, I know what you want. You just want money, and we're not going to give you any. Well, I wasn't there to sell anything. I was there because I had been commissioned by a district official to call the church, not just that church, but several churches, and ask them if they would be willing to do something. But at the end of that conversation, I made this statement. I said, there is no secretary that I know of on planet Earth that would ever feel bold enough to speak to someone else on the phone like that unless they had been authorized by the person above them or had seen it on demonstration in the person above them to talk to people like that. And so my office manager doesn't do things like that because I don't do things like that. Okay. And then there was Adonijah, and the scripture makes an interesting statement about David's parenting of Adonijah. He never told him no. He never told him no. A person one time made this statement, and they said, when you are mature in your relationship with God, you are going to be just as happy about his yeses or his when he tells you no as when he tells you yes. The person I heard say that was Tim Garrison, our adult Sunday school teacher, and it's true. You know, thank God when he tells you no and you don't get the thing that you think you really want because what you thought you really wanted would have been devastating in your life. So we cannot be hands-off when it comes to correction, but we need to hear the wisdom from heaven of how we can bring about correction and discipline into a person's life. I will tell you this. I remember growing up and I knew a person that went to a doctor. They were adults, and the doctor was telling him, you need to lose weight. Every time they went to see the doctor would say, you need to lose weight. And I remember hearing this person say, my doctor is more overweight than I am. And he's telling me to lose weight, but he's not showing any self-control in that area. There are areas in every one of our lives where we could do a better job of disciplining ourselves and correcting ourselves. If we judged ourselves, we wouldn't need someone else to judge us due to the fact that we haven't done it. And so I want to ask you today, is there something in your life, something in my life, that the Holy Spirit is saying, look, you're undisciplined in this area of your life. You need to correct this area of your life, and you need to make the change before you have to. Before the doctor says, if you don't change, you're going to die. You don't want that. I know people who said, man, there is nothing in this world that is going to make me change this particular thing in my life. And then they needed life-saving surgery. And after that, they said, you know what? I think I'll change. And you know what happened after they changed? They said, I can't believe that I let myself do that thing for all of those years, and it almost killed me. We need to make the change. And it can be a series of small changes over a period of time that produces dramatic results, or it can be instantaneous, where it says, you know what, I'm done. But whatever it is, we need to realize that the enemy looks to exploit our lack of discipline in whatever area it might be. It might be finances, it might be food, it might be the things that you drink. For some people, it might be drugs. For some people, it might be immorality. For some people, it might be the fact that they work to the neglect of their family. There are a whole lot of areas of our life. For some people, it could be the amount of computer games that you play. For some, it could be the amount of other games that you play. It could be the number of toys that you accumulate. If there's an undisciplined area in your life, the enemy will try to exploit it to bring about devastation, destruction, and ultimately death. If you're a workaholic, I can tell you that that is a life out of balance. There's a verse in verse 4 here, 23:4, it says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Stop it. It basically says cease with an exclamation point, so I changed it to stop it. So we need balance, and we need to say, God, if there's an area of my life that the enemy is trying to exploit to bring about destruction in my life, I need you to speak into my life. I need you to give me instruction, and I need you to give me ears to hear words of knowledge. So let's deal with 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Discipline is about correction. It is about change of behavior. And so we've seen recently where people let prisoners out of jail, out of prison, because of the coronavirus, and they immediately, upon discharge from the jail system and the prison system, went out and committed another crime, sometimes murder, sometimes assault, because they didn't learn anything. In fact, there was a video I saw, I believe it was Los Angeles, where inmates in jail had heard that they were letting people out who had the virus, and so they intentionally set out to spread the virus around their pod in the jail cell, not realizing that they were on video, and 21 out of the 50 people ended up contracting the virus, and I don't think they let them out because that's just dumb. If you're trying to play the system and you think that you're going to pull a fast one over on God, I can tell you that that's not going to work. A lot of people use the disciplinary process as a way to deal with their rage or their anger, and they think, I'm just going to continue to do this until this emotion passes. Let me tell you what that's called. That's called abuse. That's called abuse. And it's not about you. And it is not about whether or not it is an inconvenience for you. Let me tell you, when you have children, when you have employees, when you have other interpersonal relationships, I can guarantee you that there are going to be some inconveniences that arise in that relationship, but love is called for 24/7, 365 days a year. It is called for every sort of relationship that you have. You are supposed to love those people unconditionally, and it is not about whether or not you're angry or frustrated. I tell people this, as a pastor, if I have to speak correction, first of all, I generally don't do it on Sunday. I've been corrected by superiors on Sunday. It made me hate going to church. I didn't want to go to church. And I was a minister. And so I said, I'm not going to use the Lord's day to make somebody feel horrible about the fact that they did the best that they could that day. We can deal with the correction process at a later time. Correction always seems painful, but I will tell you this, God disciplines those he loves. And if you have taken a hands-off approach to discipline and say, I just want them to love me, you're not following God's example. You just need to say, you know what? It is not about my anger. It's not about my rage. It is not about if it's inconvenience. I need to speak correction into my child's life or whatever situation it might be, because I don't want them spending eternity apart from God. I don't want them experiencing a lack of correction that results in an irreconcilable separation from God for all of eternity. The thing the rule that I apply is this. Whenever I've got to speak correction into someone, and whatever they may have done has gotten under my skin, and it's flustered me pretty good, I say this. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray until I have Bob under control. And when I have Bob under control, then I will administer correction to this other individual. And I will tell you, if you can get your flesh under control, it will help you to minister correction to those that you're charged with authority over, to do it in a spirit of love. And you know what will happen? They will love you for it. And in the end, they'll serve God as a result of it. God bless you. You have a great day. I pray that you will be a blessing. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.